Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Lotto Oates. Oh, excuse me. He's not here. So I had to throw off his name because he's not here. Otto Lost. I know. I just said Lotto Oost. Excuse me.
You know, Lotto was a big game at one time.
Okay. And this portion of our show every week is the Christina Lou Show, which is the talk of the town. And Christina brings everybody up to date on what's happening around the town. Christina is not with us today. Unfortunately, her grandfather passed away during the week. And Christina is, as everybody knows Christina from the radio program, Christina is a wonderful, wonderful human being. And she also was that as a granddaughter. And she was with her grandfather every day, not now that he's been sick, but basically all her life. They did projects together. So it's a terrible loss for Christina. The gift was that she has spent so many years with him, and she saw him basically every day, talked to him, et cetera, et cetera. So our prayers are out to Christina. And, you know, we're just going to give a few highlights of what's coming on this week. But then Peter and Otto are going to talk, because I don't think anybody can do the Christina Lou Show justice. She really has a wonderful way, and I wouldn't even attempt to do it.
Yeah, Christina, if you happen to catch this somewhere along the line, our thoughts are with you. And I realize, this is Otto, how close you were to your grandfather. And it's a tough loss. On the plus side is, as John just pointed out, the fact that you were able to have such a long, caring relationship with him, you will someday look back on as a great blessing. So our thoughts are with you.
Right. Just a few announcements for this week, because they're around the corner. Tomorrow, May 21st, is the annual Asian American Festival, which is at North Hempstead Beach Park. It's always a wonderful day, and that starts at noon. Sunday, the 22nd, also at North Hempstead Beach Park, is the STOP program. And the STOP program, actually, Jack had referenced one last week, is where you can bring your drugs, you can bring computers, electronic, paints, clothes, etc. The clothes go to the big brothers and sisters of Long Island, but any stuff that you have, there's no reason to be throwing it in the garbage. Garbage men no longer can take computers and stuff like that. Recently, that was put into effect. So bring your stuff to North Hempstead Beach Park, and they will take care of it. And from a senior recognition, last week, 30 seniors throughout the town of North Hempstead got honored, and the luncheon was at the Harbor Links, and the entire board of the town with our supervisor Judy Bosworth was there and acknowledging the seniors for their tremendous contributions to the town. And Judy Bosworth last night was with me at a program at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Shelter Rock with Literacy Nassau. And Karen Michike has been on this program before, and wonderful young woman doing a tremendous job helping immigrants learn how to read and write and speak English. And last night was a special honor. It was their first graduating class, and John and Janet Kornreich, who have been contributors to the program, made a gift last night of $1 million to Literacy Nassau.
Wow.
So it was just a special event. The supervisor was there to give remarks for the graduates. It's their first graduating class, and they will be on again, but it was a special night.
Is she the lady that got involved with this because her mother was an immigrant?
Yes. Yeah. You were here that day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Karen.
Yeah.
I met her husband. I had met him once before, but just, you know, a wonderful, wonderful night. There was an honor for a boy who was a smart boy, got into all the colleges, etc., had a motorcycle accident and died at 20.
Oh, wow.
His mom was there, and they have a chair in his honor. And it's a wonderful organization, but it comes across like a big family, which is the most important part of it. Mm-hmm. They had to stop it. The Unitarian Universalist Congregation has a very large facility. We had to stop it at 450 last night.
Wow.
And people were turned away. So, I mean, it really was a tremendous, and all different groups, You had, you know, from all different countries, a Polish woman, a Chinese, Asian, a Korean. I mean, it was amazing. People have come to this country but need to speak English. Mm. And they're not necessarily going to the best schools, and they have to get into the school first. So that was, I'm going on a tangent, but it was really, it was a wonderful program.
But I think, you know, that's a topic. My parents were immigrants.
Okay.
They came over here from Germany in the late 20s. And the need to learn the language is very important, I think. And to have a program like that that helps them do it is super worthwhile.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
What I would like to do then for our time to finishing, and Peter's going to be here with us, is not put the burden on you, Otto, but to go back. No, to go back to your family powwow.
Okay.
Not to ask you the specifics by no means.
No, go ahead.
But the importance of that. The importance of that sharing, the importance of healthcare proxies, durable power of attorney, the importance of letting a child know, I really do mean do not resuscitate. It's not your choice. It's my choice, and I'm giving you that proxy because I trust you to follow out my wish, not turn around and say, I can't let this happen to daddy or mommy.
Well, believe it or not, a couple of the conversations you and I had were what kind of made me push to have this powwow. You talked about a family that, you know, they didn't have any plans for their stuff in ahead of time.
Uh-huh. I know
the
one.
And I recall the story was something like there were eight siblings, and they had a drawing, number one, number two, whoever.
Yep.
And number one decided they wanted a dining room set, and number two said, that's a lot of stuff, you know, because I want the dining room set. You knew that for years and years. And I recall that story, and I used that story with my family.
Okay.
And including my wife. And I said, you know, this is the type of thing that we may think we have a perfect family here, but I believe the reality is we ought to have an open discussion about stuff.
Right.
All right. So I actually made a little bit of an agenda, and the stuff included health now, health in the future, our will, what our thoughts are on our will. Without getting into some of
it. Yeah,
no, but I don't mean it from that point that there's a couple of sensitive issues there that we openly address.
But you talk to them. See, the point is
we openly talked about
there
it.
There always is a sensitive issue. Everyone is private. Everyone is specific to an individual family. Peter and I see it all the time.
I'm sure.
You can't be afraid to talk about it because it's there. It's the elephant in the room.
Exactly.
It's there.
Right. And, you know, and then I had stuff. All right. Now, what stuff? Well, there's a lot of stuff. You know? cars, televisions, Hummels, Lennox Bells, you know, furniture. The list goes on and on. A stamp collection.
Right, right.
The first jet game program. You know, I got a list a mile long. All right?
I don't know if Peter knows as much about Otto. You wouldn't.
No.
Otto is an organizer. So he might... If he has the jet, the first jet, it's sealed someplace and on a shelf, and
well,
he
actually,
knows exactly where it is.
Actually, that's true. I have a closet in the house, which is like a vault. It has stuff. That's some of it's important to me.
I have a challenge for you.
Go ahead.
My daughter just came home from college, right? Her dorm room is now in my living room, right? Come over and organize that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a... Your daughter probably has to be involved with the organizing of the stuff.
No, she doesn't. Not at this point. She's going to have a deadline.
It's not in her nature yet to do that. So maybe you have to take
care of these dorm rooms are more dangerous than Afghanistan.
Right.
The Marines could use it as an obstacle course.
You know, it's a funny thing, though. I find in through my life's experiences, either you're a little bit in that direction that you're organized or you're not. And I don't know if you can change the stripes, if you will.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, I was always
creatures
like
of habit.
That.
Absolutely.
I was
yeah.
always the guy in the neighborhood that would organize the street games, whatever the game was. And we would wind up having batting averages and stickball and, you know, whatever. And that would be me. I would be doing that stuff.
Right, right, right.
Everybody liked the fact that we did it, but I'm the one who did it because it was just me. That's how
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Woodhaven in Queens, about a block from Brooklyn.
Okay.
I went to Franklin K. Lane High School.
That's where my wife went to Franklin K. Lane.
She
grew up in Glendale.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Woodhaven, which is right on the other side of all the cemeteries.
Yeah, sure. You know, I know exactly where.
Like a wall of cemeteries that separates Glendale from Woodhaven. Mm-hmm. And I went to Lane. And, you know, back in my era, when I was a kid, we didn't have television. You know, it didn't exist yet. So we played stuff.
Right, okay.
Lots of stuff. And I was the game inventor. You know, we had a game where we'd throw the ball off the mailbox, and it had a round thing, so it was a good place to throw a ball. And the ball would go above the window. It's a home run unless you caught it off the window. And, you know, anyhow, we had a league, you know. And we had a good time doing that kind of thing. But anyhow, it's in me to do that. And I think I got a lot of that from my father, because I remember my father saying to me, my father was organized, and I remember my father saying to me, he said, you know, if you use this and you put it back where you got it, the next time you're going to be able to find it. If you put it here and you leave it there, then you may not be able to find it the next time.
My father said the same thing, but it had no effect.
No, well, see, to me it did, you know, because I guess it was kind of like in my genes, you know, if you will, you know. But anyhow, because of that, and the things that I've learned, frankly, through Project Independence,
right.
about procrastinating. I was accused of being a procrastinator when I was probably about 19 years old. I took a test that was given by the state about employment.
Okay.
You know, my guidance counselor was of very little value. She was an art teacher and really had no life experience, but she was my guidance counselor. So I really didn't get a whole lot of guidance as far as school goes. So what I did was I took this test that worked on your aptitude and kind of, and it was a very good thing I did it, because it took what your aptitude was and it kind of gave you a direction as to where to go. But one of the things it said as a result of that test was that I was a procrastinator. Now, I didn't even know what the hell the word meant back then, you know. Anyhow, I figured it out. And I said, I'm not going to be a procrastinator, and to this day, I'm not. You know,
so that test worked for you.
Well, it did work for me, and it helped me a lot in my business life, because one of the things when you get into sales, as you well know, you can't procrastinate about certain things. You have to do them.
Don't be saying that. We're going to take a break now.
I was going to take that test, but I put it off.
We're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org.